The success of some devices like the iPhone is that they're more ubiquitous and that people can pick them up and look at them and put them back in their pocket. Virtual reality is a very intentional thing. It's not going to be something where we're walking around with these things on our heads.
Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog, episode 20 for Friday, August 21st, 2015. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk with Josh Hale from Village Features 3D about which industries virtual reality is poised to disrupt. By the way, please bear with the sound quality at the beginning. Our Skype connection was a little rough at first, but it straightened itself out once the intertubes warmed up. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. Josh, who are you and what do you do?
Thank you, Jonathan. I am a technology entrepreneur in South Carolina. I deal with virtual reality and how it can impact various industries, professional industries, such as real estate development, construction, sales, etc. I have a master's in landscape architecture, and it was there that I set out to discover a way to make that more accessible to them, to bring it as more of a one-to-one, where they're not seeing some sort of vague sketch or a plan view or a schematic of a design, that they get to see something that's like what you see is what you get. And so that's kind of led me through doing virtual reality for the home building industry.
I'm wondering if you could describe what VR is to you, because I feel like there are a lot of different terms that are all getting lumped underneath it, like spherical video and 360 degree photography and stereoscopic and lenticular and all this stuff. It seems actually like a whole bunch of things that are just getting lumped into that. Is that true or am I confused?
It is. Thankfully, it's not as much as 3D, the word 3D, but virtual reality does. You have to clarify it.
Mm-hmm. And what is it for you?
Well, for me, I differentiate. I said, listen, there's a difference between virtual reality and augmented reality. I typically define virtual reality as something that encompasses your vision that is completely synthetic. And I would use like a video game, for example, with an Oculus-based video game. Or, you can record some reality, I guess, so a video or something like that. But and that could be considered virtual if it's not the place you're in, where it takes you to another place or a place that doesn't exist. It doesn't necessarily have to exist or not exist, but that it is another place. It's all enveloping. So it's not necessarily looking through like maybe the Microsoft, the HoloLens, where you have an augmented view of reality.
So like looking at your site and looking at some of the demos just on my laptop, It's very reminiscent of like a street view type of thing, but much higher quality. But it's like a street view type of feeling where the viewer is placed like at a stationary point in a room, for example, and you can pan around in any direction. Like it's like you're inside of a sphere, and there was a photographer there with a camera that pointed in every direction, and you can look everywhere, but you can't move.
Absolutely. And there are two techniques, I guess you could say, or two types of virtual reality in that sense. And there's trade-offs to each one. And what we do is we will err on the side of realism. We use the same type of software that, for example, like a Pixar or most any type of high-end animation house we use, which creates what we call an offline rendering, which we pre-compute all of the lighting and the data that goes in, so that what you see is a realistic depiction of a scene. The other one would be, I would call your typical video game that's maybe, if it's virtual reality, be like an Oculus-based virtual reality, where the rendering is done in real time. And so the trade-off is that you do walk around, and it is, we call stereoscopic, where meaning there's a sense of depth in there, but there is a trade-off with quality. There's the textures and the surfaces. You can tell there's that little bit of the video game-ish to it. The edges, we call it anti-aliasing. You can notice that's a little, the aliasing on the edges.
It's like a little jagged.
A little jagged, yeah. So we err on the side of realism. Eventually those things will merge.
Sorry, you cut out. Eventually those things will merge.
Yes, yes, and I believe they will. I believe that the video game side will. However, when they jumped from the screen to virtual reality, a lot of the tricks that such as Halo and a lot of the top-notch video games look realistic didn't necessarily work in VR. Some of the techniques like using normal mapping, those kind of things, and it's brought up by some of the scientists at Oculus, is that those tricks that they use are not as effective in VR. In VR, because the screen is right up on your eyes, and you're seeing a highly magnified version of it. So, and people get to actually experience it at a one-to-one scale versus looking at a computer screen.
Huh, wild. All right. So, I mean, obviously, you have started a company that's based around this, so you think it's going to be big, but how big do you think it's going to be? Are we all going to be walking around with an Oculus Rift on our face? Obviously not. You couldn't, but.
No, I think it's a more intentional thing. So, the success of some devices like the iPhone is that they're more ubiquitous and that people can, pick them up and look at them and put them back in their pocket. Virtual reality is a very intentional thing. It's not going to be something where we're walking around with these things on our heads. It's going to change how we do some things, and other things it won't affect. I think people are going to be a little hesitant to use it for everyday entertainment, for example. But for things where it's absolutely necessary to get a preview of something that doesn't exist or to take you somewhere that you're not in, virtual reality is really affect how we travel. A lot of times people want to go somewhere to see something. I've been to the Grand Canyon and I've actually put on the Oculus and I have a very similar sensation. The breadth of it, the size of the canyon itself is can get pretty close in experience with that Samsung. Versus what my spatial memory serves me from my trip a decade ago to the Grand Canyon, and especially a spatial memory, the idea of how you felt in a space, VR can communicate that like nothing else, and that's where I find that it's going to take foothold. So something like, for example, property, home building, our minds are subconsciously aware of the space around us, whether it's a cathedral inside a cathedral or in a tight office space with a low ceiling, whether in a canyon or a bar, for example, we know the spatial surroundings, and VR can communicate that, and that'll be really big going forward.
What are the limitations right now that people are working hard to get rid of? So just as an example, video capture seems like it's pretty hard. They've seen these like at Google I/O, they announced this camera array that GoPro is going to launch, and the thing is huge and expensive. So will this be something that normal people can participate in the creation of, or is it going to be something that's more for high-end photographers?
Great question. I think it's becoming more and more accessible. I know Samsung has been testing a camera that looks like the shape of a small plate, and it's about an inch and a half thick, and it will be able to stream 360-degree video. And I believe it's meant for consumers. It's meant to go directly to their virtual reality headset. One of the technical things is the actual screens themselves, the density of the screens. When you mag, you know, for us looking at our smartphone, our eyes can only resolve so much. We call it the screen door effect, looking like through a screen door on your back porch, and you can actually see the individual pixels. So for VR to go forward, they'll need to produce a density. Will have to grow by order of magnitude in order to accommodate those pixels. What they have solved is the tracking. I think the tracking has gotten to a point now, I think, especially with the Oculus coming out in the beginning of next year, Samsung now with the Gear VR, the tracking has gotten to a point where pretty much most people can bear it or use it and not feel the motion sickness. I had a Oculus development kit too, and it gave me some discomfort. With the Gear VR, we have almost no discomfort, especially if you use it correctly. And I think for right now, its uses are like photography wise are very strong. There are cameras out now that make it easier for a lot of people to capture 360 degree images. I think there's some more coming out, especially geared toward Google Street View, that you don't have to go through the whole process of stitching photos. It does it for you, which is a huge time saver.
Yeah, we were talking on a recent show about how you could say, if there was a GoPro helmet cam that would do that, even if it was just taking a picture every couple of seconds, or if it was capturing real time video, maybe not streaming, but capturing it, you could go back later and see stuff on your ski vacation that you didn't even see while you were there, because you look around behind you, see your brother wipe out or whatever. It seems like it could really transform the sort of, I want to say, a vacation photography experience, but I used to work with a photography company, and they would say that we don't take pictures, we capture people's memories. And what's interesting about the idea of 360-degree video, or whatever we should be calling it, is that it's capturing stuff that you won't even remember because you didn't see it. And to me, I feel like that's that stuff like that makes this not a gimmick. It's not a better screen. It's a completely new thing where you can go back and re-experience your vacation in different ways over time. Is that totally ridiculous, or do you think that there's some truth to that?
No, there is some truth to that. And we'll have to, you know, as we all know now, we have gotten so much technology. We have to figure out, really have to start thinking about how to use it properly. There's a time and a place for everything, and we always love it. I love gadgets. I'm lusting after an Apple Watch or something, or whatever the newest VR headset or something like that, you know. But again, we have to say, how does that fit in my life? And now VR, I can see VR with memories being a very important thing. And the fact that you're saying you went somewhere, and it allows you to look places that you didn't see. And as far as the quality goes, I think it'll continue to improve as anything. Where the market goes, that's where the research dollars will go. And so if the market picks up on virtual reality, then, you know, they'll see a considerable investment. Our particular experience with clients in the Gear VR, buying homes, it shows an effect that they actually do want to buy a home. They see through this headset. Mm-hmm. And so just an initial, small initial test markets that we've done. So, and that's affecting how, you know, people will go about that. For example, maybe they don't have to build as many showcase homes. They build one and virtualize the others. That's one of the things that we're trying to maybe to tickle the ears of developers with, you know, that they could, you know, reduce costs in that regard.
So in other words, kind of like, here you sort of shoot the one house, and then you can have like a different kitchen setup or different appliance package or something, and have that virtually just sort of, you know, so that a potential buyer could view it with all different configurations. Is that what you mean?
Exactly. And that makes the 3D artist that much more important. And in this world, then, is that the 3D artist has this power, I guess you could say, that they had maybe for renderings, but now with a virtual world, they can craft whole worlds that are believable. And especially with some new developments coming on the rendering side, one company in particular, Otoy, O-T-O-Y, they've developed some very interesting technologies. One is like a hologram technology where you have the realism of still imagery, but also the ability to, you know, look around a corner, for example, to see the depth, and also a little bit of, you know, the stereoscopic depth. And we look to incorporate that in our pipeline as soon as we can. And I think that's going to give people this sense of like, wow, I'm really feel like I'm somewhere different. I feel like I'm there. I'm not here. Mm-hmm. And so when they take the headset off, they're back in this other world that they they departed a few minutes ago. So that sensation, I think, is going to really resonate with a lot of people. But again, I think it's going to be an intentional. I think we'll have to have very good thought about how, you know, what's best served by this.
Yeah, I mean, I tell the story on the show all the time about the first time my 5-year-old tried Google Cardboard, and after, you know, later in the day, he asked me if he could go back in it. Instead of saying, can I use that again? Or can I go use that goggles again? He was like, can I go back in that? And I've seen the same, you know, I do demos of this stuff, and people will be in the middle of a crowded conference and just put this thing on their face, and all of a sudden they're not there. They're not, their whole body language changes. They're no longer self-conscious because they don't feel people around them anymore. It's unbelievable. But I'm curious, you have to sell this concept to people. How do you describe something that is such an immersive experience? And really, you kind of have to try it to get it. Have you sort of cracked that nut somehow? Or what do you do to help people understand how radically different this is?
You, Jonathan, you really do. You have to get them. I mean, for me, is to get them in a demo. When I get them in a demo, I like to use their words to explain it to their friends or to their constituents, and that validates it for them. So for me, as being a technology person, I'm always, you know, for me, it's become second nature to slip it on, and I have the glasses, and I know it's experience. But I was a skeptic when I first put on, you know, it's like, wow, this changes everything. It does. It's just the way our eyes are, you know, our vision, our brain, our whole balance is tied to that. And it's, you're right. It's not going to a bigger screen. It's just it's a very different way of interacting, with this device that tracks your head movement. So it is, you're in it, you know, it's in that regard. So yes, they do have to get to that point. They are not going to really understand the benefit of it until they actually put it on. And in that regard, it's, you have to try it to believe it.
What do you think are the other things that are obvious to you where this would be a huge win? I mean, you mentioned some travel stuff, but I'm wondering if there's some stuff that you haven't mentioned yet that are like sort of not adjacent industries to yours, but other types of industries where you see people doing kind of what you're doing, but for a completely different group.
The importance of going somewhere, you know, some people have to travel to go see a place. This could change that. So, for example, if someone has to go from San Francisco to China to go tour a factory,
okay,
maybe this could change the fact that they could take a streaming camera with them, or somebody there at the factory could, and the person could communicate verbally, but they could say, okay, bring that camera here. You know, let me go inside this, or let me check that out. Okay, you need to actually, you know, get on that wire and change this, or change this setting, where you can actually go there with a 360 streaming camera. You know, when those become more popular and the resolution increases to where, you know, it becomes feasible to look at things of detail, you know.
Right.
I see that training simulation. You know, so they've used it in military simulations, but training simulation, possibly shopping as well. Being able to shop for things that are, you know, large items, boats, you know, destinations. If you want to explore a destination before you go. So I said travel, of course. So
that all makes sense. That all, you know, we used to work in Kelly and I both worked for a customer in the cruise industry. And I could easily imagine being able to tour the different Royal Caribbean ships to decide which one I wanted to actually go on. You know, go through the restaurants, go through the promenade, go through the main hall and check out the rooms and decide which room I want to rent. I could see, you know, hotels, pretty much any hospitality industry could, it would be super beneficial in my opinion.
I'm thinking campus tours.
Yes, they're doing that already with the Samsung. UVisit is a company that's actually doing that right now. They're doing the campus visits. They've done a lot actually, and they're just transferring a lot of their material to the VR headset. So in real estate, I think it could be a huge thing for people not having to get the real estate agent and go look at all these houses. They can just do it all from their living room or from the sales office. You know, they can view multiple properties within a few minutes. And so I think it could really streamline that. I see it in anything where there's a large spatial component to it, where you're in a space that you need to be able to be teleported to, anything like that.
Yeah. You know what? You just nailed it by saying the word teleported, because that I've used that word to describe the feeling. It's almost like all of a sudden you're somewhere else, like Star Trek, but you didn't actually move your body. You just tricked yourself into thinking you're somewhere else. That's a great way to look at it. No pun intended.
No. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's going to get even better. So we'll be able to capture environments to a degree that we almost feel like we are there. Now, granted, there's limitations with the screen resolution and with the camera resolution, mostly right now with the screen resolution. But, you know, we'll be able to take holographic capture. So it can capture with, let's say, for example, within about a couple feet, like if you imagine a sphere, and within that sphere, your head can move around and you'll be able to see, you know, I guess you call it the parallax when you look behind something. Like if you're, say, a table's in front of you and then behind it there's something else, when you move your head, that the table moves, you know, and differently than the object way behind. Notice that. And so they'll be able to capture the real world like that and be able to, you know, see it in that regard. I know there's a company, Matterport, that makes a camera that gives you a 3D look at capture. Now, the quality is not up to like what a high resolution, VR capture is close. It's not bad, but it does give you that 3D. So it builds like this 3D model in a sense with texture from photos.
Cool. All right. Well, we should probably wrap up, but I want to finish with a prediction question. So I know this is always hard, but I'm curious when you think VR is going to sort of reach the tipping point where it's not novel to go over to your friend's house and see his three kids sitting on the couch with goggles on their face.
Good question. I see that, well, within this decade easily, maybe even 5 years, the pace. It has a lot to do with, I honestly think it goes back to Apple, really. There were other smartphones that were before Apple, before the iPhone. Taking the technology and integrating it and making it culturally viable, I could see that being, if they get in the VR game, then that changes everything. But even if they're not for a while, I still think that it will be a very viable thing, mainly because most of it's now powered by smartphones. So there's very little has to be done to convert it to, to a VR experience. Like Gear VR is just a Galaxy Note 4 attached to a Samsung headset. So I think it could be a very much everyday life within 5 years, especially the content now. It's the software and the content that we're waiting on. I think the experience itself.
Yeah, it's kind of chicken or egg, right?
Yeah, and I think once people see the value of it, they'll start creating content for it.
Wild. All right, Josh, well, thanks so much for your time. Where can people go to learn more?
Well, we've actually developed a neat little crash course on VR. Now, it does pertain to our vertical, which is, home builders and developers. It's at villagefeatures3d.com. And if you go to that site, there'll be a little pop-up that allows you to opt into the crash course. And it's basically just getting ready for the virtual reality tsunami. That's what it's titled. So, they go in there. It's they just put their email address in. They'll get it. We don't spam people. We don't sell, their email. And you'll get put on our list and just get fed lots of information about VR and how it's changing, different industries and ours in particular, which is the development. So
sounds great. All right, Josh. Well, thanks again.
All right. My pleasure.
All right. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. If you don't have two friends, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review in iTunes. Thanks a lot.